I'd like to call your attention to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Be reading out of the 25th chapter and also St. Mark 13 and 32. Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning at verse 31. The Bible reads, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the sheep divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Amen. The base of our thinking coming from verse 32 and 33. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Supporting scripture, Mark 13 and 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or a subject this morning in the form of a question. If Jesus comes today, will you be one of the sheep or a goat? If Jesus comes today, will you be one of the sheep or a goat? I don't wonder. I really do love the Lord. And God is good to us this morning. God is so good that he allowed us to be in this place at this given time. And God knows exactly what you are going through. He's aware of your situation, and he knows even what the outcome is going to be right now. Now, you don't know what the outcome is going to be, but God already knows the outcome. So what we have to do as believers is pray and believe that God is going to work it out for the good. Hallelujah. And whatever it is I laid on the altar, whatever it is I told him about that I need him to do, I believe that God is able this morning to do that and some more. Any believers in the house this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If there ever was a time that we ought to be praising God, it's right now. And if I had said that 10 years ago, it would have been just as true as it is right now. We tend to think that because we hear so much about our economical situation and because we are going through that we have no hope. But if we got God, if we got belief in the power of God, then we still have our hope. We still have the one that has been feeding us when we get hungry. We still have him in place, that he's a doctor, he's a lawyer, he's anything that we need him to be. And I wonder this morning, do we realize what a blessing it is for us just to be able to come into this house of worship? And when we come, we need to come with a mind to praise and worship the Lord our God. David said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So when we come to God's house for worship, we should be in a spiritual mode. We got to learn how to start making preparations for service before we leave home. We are so traditionalized and we are used to doing the thing the way that we do it. So we got to have devotion service and we got to have the choir to sing and the chorus to sing. And we have our testimonials and we have a lot of things that come before the word of God. But I wonder, are these things really hitting home? Are they touching our minds and our hearts? Are they really preparing us to receive what thus said the Lord? But what we got to understand is that when you get up in the morning, you can already start your testimony by thanking God for waking you up. Thanking the Lord for allowing you to yet be a part of another day. And as you begin to talk to God and you get up, you need to get up praying, asking the Lord to bless you along the way. And then you know how it is sometimes if you like good gospel music, just turn the radio on or put a CD in and go ahead and get you some gospel music already in your system and let it begin to minister to your inside so that you'll begin to feel it with the right mindset. And if you don't want to listen to the music on the tape or on the CD, just hum a tune. You ought to have a song in your heart. There ought to be something that in your heart that every now and then you don't need the organ, you don't need the drum, you don't need the guitar. You needed to open up your mouth and say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." Oh Lord, I just want to thank you. I constantly think about, oh, how I love Jesus. That little song means so much to me. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. And we have to understand if we start making some preparations before we get here, even after you get in the car, don't be in there gossiping on the phone talking about other junk. Be talking to God, asking God to let me get what I'm going to get. I come to receive a blessing. I come to be delivered. I come to know that there is a God that I'm serving and he's yet still alive. We act like God is dead. A lot of us, we don't move until we find out that we are going through something. And then it's, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. When we are sick and when we know that we got to have a need that we can't do anything about, then we are talking to the Lord. But how about those times when everything is seemingly going all right? Isn't it a good thing to tell God, thank you anyway? Just think about it. If you got up this morning and you started singing and praying and talking to God, then once you got into the church of God, you already ready. And what I encourage you is don't let nobody steal your joy along the way. Because there might be somebody already here that didn't come for the right thing. But don't let them hinder you. You got to have your own mind. Can't nobody make you not have a good time. If you don't want nothing, you're not going to get anything. We got to trust in God with all of our heart and with all of our might. And we got to have a mind to keep pressing toward the mark. And I wonder, as you started on your Christian journey, is there anybody in here that ever get tired? Ever get to a place where, why am I doing all of this? Anybody ever been in a situation where after all the good that you tried to do, out of all the running that you've done, seemed like you're still stuck up against the wall and you just don't know what's going to happen? And you began to even question and wonder, Lord, why? Why are you allowing these things to happen in my life? You said that if I love you, if I pay my tithes, if I come to the church house, if I treat people like I'm supposed to treat them, that things were going to be all right. But Lord, I see that I'm catching hell on the left and I'm catching hell on the right. And I've been trying to do the right thing. But how many of you know that it's not about you anyhow? While you're on this journey, you're going to go through some trials and some hardships. You're going to have some good days and you're going to have some bad days. And yes, there's even going to be some time when you want to give up. You're going to beg you to just keep on holding on and trusting God. I beg you this morning to not give up on God. I beg you this morning to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I solicit you this morning to let you know that you ought not let the devil fool you. You got to learn how to tell the devil to get off of you. You got to know that you belong to a higher power. And I don't care how the devil depends or try to attack you. You got to be able to be quick at response and let the devil know, devil, you are nothing but a lie. Every time that you try to do something that is good, the devil is going to try to pull it apart. But you got to learn how to tell the devil you're a liar. Every time you feel like you're just a little closer to the Lord, how many ever got a little closer to the Lord and it seemed like the enemy just tried to knock you back down? But how many you tell the devil you're nothing but a liar because I'm coming back? See, you can't give up every time you get knocked down. You're going to get knocked down sometime. You are not so big and bad that you can't get knocked down. The tallest man in the world can be knocked down. But I know somebody this morning. Somebody that is able to get them back up. And you got to understand that if you know that same somebody, that he'll do whatever needs to be done in your life. The Bible teaches us to rejoice and be glad, for this is the day that God has made. And we are not to be overly concerned about tomorrow. You know how it is that we always like to make these plans. But James asks us a question. James says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little while and then vanisheth away. So when we consider our reminder to be ye also ready, for ye know not the day or the hour when the Son of the Man is going to appear. But as believers, we know that one day Jesus is coming back. As believers, we find that there are two classes of people. There are the believers and then the unbelievers. If you are a believer, then you have been given power. You just have to know how to use that power. When we hear that every man, every woman has to work out his own soul salvation, we got to understand that we have some things that we are responsible for doing ourselves. Everything is just not going to fall in your lap. All right. When the Bible says you have not because you ask not, just simple salvation, you got to ask God to forgive you for the wrong that you've done. You got to confess your fault to God, believe in your heart that Jesus died and got up on the third day. And the Bible declares that if you do these things, then thou shalt be saved. Now, the enemy is going to tell you and remind you of some things that might have been out of God's will. But you got to understand that the enemy is out to trick you anyway. The enemy is out to mix your mind up. And every time you try to get things right, the enemy is going to try to throw a curve in there and mess it all up. But you got to have your mind made up. For God, I'll live, and for the Lord, I'll die. It's one thing to say that the Lord is my shepherd. But it makes a very big difference. It's a big difference in the meaning when you know God as your shepherd. Children are being taught the 23rd Psalms. We were taught it as young people, and we go from year to year, and every now and then we will find ourselves saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And we got to understand, when we call God to be our shepherd, we ought to know him to be a shepherd. It's more than just mere words. The Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible says that I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the reason why I can say those words with conviction is because I know God to be my shepherd. I know God to be the shepherd that whenever he calls, I got to hear his humble cry. I got to know God to be my shepherd because the Bible says that the sheep know the shepherd's voice and a stranger they're not going to follow. But the question this morning is, if he comes today, will you be one of the sheep or will you be a goat? There's going to be a big gathering. Jesus is going to call all of the nations together. And when he calls us all together, it's going to be a day of separation. And when we are separated, because of the lifestyles that we've lived and what we have in our hearts. If we don't know him as our personal savior, if we're not able to say that I not only am I saying the mere word that the Lord is my shepherd, but I know him as my shepherd. We got to understand that we got to let God know whose side we're on. We got to understand that one day Jesus is coming back and he's coming looking for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. And the Bible declares, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Then Jesus says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. I wonder, are we watching? Are we waiting on Jesus to come? Or have we got so complacent? Have we got to a place to where we feel like we've already arrived? You know how it is. There's some folk, because you declare I'm saved and sanctified, you act like you already done arrived. You still, you don't have to pray. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. But I come to tell you that I beg to differ. You still got to do the same thing that you took to get you to God. You got to keep on to hold on to God, because there's somebody trying to rob you of your joy. There's somebody that wants you to know that you don't have to worry about being ready. You already ready, but I don't know whether you're ready or not. If you're ready, then you ought to be able to say that the Lord is your shepherd. But the Bible said, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house is coming, whether it be at even, midnight, or early in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. The Bible saying, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. What you're looking at. We look at everything but what we need to be looking at. And we see here in the word of God, and it says, watch. It's not talking necessarily about watching with your eyes, but it's talking about getting your soul ready. It's talking about not taking life for granted. It's talking about knowing that there is going to come a time when Jesus is going to come back. And what the Bible is saying is Jesus is letting them know that you better get yourself ready. If your house is not in order, then you need to be getting your house in order. If Jesus comes today, will you be a sheep or a goat? These two words, two animals, sheep, a mammal yielding fleece and mutton, goats, a horn cud chewing mammal. These animals are used in a parable by Jesus to represent believers and unbelievers. Remember, Jesus said, let the tares and the wheat grow together until the day of harvest. And as they grow, they both are useful. The goats and the sheep were grazed together in many instances. In Bible times, shepherds treasured goats because of their usefulness, their sweet milk, and their hair was made into rough cloth and goatskin bottles to transport water and wine. Goats were independent, willful, and curious. Sound about like unrighteous folk? Because unrighteous folk are very independent. They got their own mind. They're going to do what they want to do. They're stubborn just like a goat. You can butt them up against the head, but they still going to do what they want to do because they are willful. They got that strong stagma. They want to hold on and just do it their way. They are curious to know things. And one thing I found out about a goat is that a goat will eat anything. A goat just eat. sheep. Sheep are mentioned about 750 times in the Bible. By nature, they are helpless creatures that like to cluster together. They were valuable because they provided meat and wool for jackets. The God of Israel revealed his nurturing nature by speaking of himself as a shepherd in the 23rd Psalm. Then as the good shepherd who takes care of his sheep. We got to understand that God knows exactly where we are because we are his sheep. When we look in St. John, the 10th chapter, the Bible declares, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enter in by the door into the sheepfold, but clameth by in some other way, is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth them forth in his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. If you are a believer this morning, then you ought to be considered a sheep because you ought to know the master's voice. When the Lord began to tell you to move, then you ought to be ready to move. But we have a mind that we're going to do what we want to do when we want to do it. But I want to know this morning that are you ready for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ? Are you ready when he calls us up to meet him in the air? Are you going to be ready to go back with him? If you are not ready, this is the time to get your house in order. If you're not ready, this is the time to understand that you got to make up your mind. Either you're going to be a sheep or you're going to be a goat. For there is going to come a time when the Son of God is going to call all of the nations together. And when he got all the nations together from the left and from the right, from the south and from the north, the east and the west, and bring us all together. Somebody said when all of God's children get together, what a time we're going to have. But I stopped by to tell somebody this morning that there's going to come a day when all of God's children are going to be together. For God's going to call them together in the sky. And I said that you won't be able to go in the gate unless you pass by Jesus at the gate. When you meet Jesus at the gate, he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. In other words, when that time comes when we all get together, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to be right there. And the Bible says as he gathered all of the nations, he's going to be just like the shepherd that divided his sheep from the goat. He said he's going to put the sheep on the right hand and the goat on the left hand. And I wonder this morning, where will you end up? The Bible said, if I was hungry, the Bible lets us know that the least that you do unto your brethren, that is what you do unto the Lord. For the Bible said, Jesus said on one occasion, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked, but you put clothes on my back. When I was sick, you stopped by my sick room. When I was in prison, you stopped by the jailhouse. And I want to thank you, God, for sending somebody to see about me. But the Bible said that the righteous said, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? When did we give you water to drink? When did we give you clothes to put on your back? When did we make a way out of no way? When was it that we allowed you to come in our house? Jesus said, I want to let you know that the least that you do unto my brethren, you do the same unto me. So if you mistreat your brother or your sister, then you are mistreating God. And I want to let you know this morning that if you mistreat the people of God, you're going to be considered a goat this morning. And Jesus is going to put you on the left side. But if you want to be a sheep this morning, all you got to do is call on the name of Jesus. Say, oh Lord, I just want to thank you. Because I know that you are my shepherd. I know you will make a way out of no way. I know that when I was down and out, you picked me up. And you pulled me up out the dirt. You made my mind begin to think about Jesus. You got down on the inside of my heart. And you began to work with my heart. And I began to love folk that mistreated me. I began to love folk that talked trash about me. Because I heard that if I'm going to go to the gate, if I'm going to get inside the gate, I got to love my neighbor. I got to love my enemy. I got to love those that misuse me. I got to know that I got God on my side. And I want to know if God comes on today. You see, this is the day that God has made. And we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. But I want to know this morning, are you ready to go back with the Lord? Are you ready to hear him say, well done? If Jesus was to come today, will you be a sheep or will you be one of the goats? See, I'm talking about today. I'm talking about right now. You see, we have time. If God gives us a few more days, we can get some things worked out in our life. But what I'm trying to get your mindset is that if God comes right now, if God comes right now, will you be a sheep? Or will you be a goat? I'm not talking about next Sunday morning. I'm not talking about Wednesday night after prayer meeting. But I'm talking about right now. Right now. While the Spirit of God is moving down on the inside. Right now. While you catching hell and high water. Right now. While you're going through your trials and tribulations. Right now. Now that you know that the Lord is on your side, I stopped by to tell somebody in Fowl Chapel that the Lord will make a way out of no way. And I want to hear my God say everything is going to be all right. I want to hear Jesus say, you, yeah, John Kane, get there on my right side. I think that you are one of my sheep because you heard my voice when I called your name. I saw you down in the dirt and I picked you up and made everything all right. And I want to tell somebody that the same God that we are reading about, think about this thing. When Jesus made this statement, it had already been enough things that had happened. They had already seen enough signs that Jesus might come anytime. And that was a long time ago. And here we are still reading the Holy Writ. And it's still the same as it was then. But the Bible is telling us, be ye also ready, for ye know not the day or the hour when the Son of Man is going to appear. But we have seen some signs for ourselves. There are not only rumors of war, but there are wars. Wars are already going on. Have you seen the sign of the judgment? You can't tell the summer from the winter. Have you seen the signs of the judgment? Our love for one another has grown cold. We're living in the last day, and Jesus is soon to come. Are you ready to hear him come? Are you ready for him to be caught up? Because we're going to be caught up one day to meet our Lord in the air. And when that blessed day comes, it's going to be a day of separation for Jesus. He's going to separate the nations. Just like a shepherd separates his sheep from his goats. Do you know which you are? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Whatever you are, you made it yourself. Because God created you from the dust of the ground, breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, and gave you a life to live. And we have made some choices that are out of God's will. And because of some of our choices, it puts us in goat category. The reality is that we all should be sheep. But the sad thing is, we're surrounded by so many goats till it ain't funny. And the thing is that you as an individual, you can't change a goat to a sheep. You can pray for the goat, and God can help change. But it's going to be in God's own time, and God's the one that has to do it. But the reality of where we are right now, the question, if Jesus comes today. Because we procrastinate. We put things off. We always talking about what we're going to do. And we never get around to it. Those that have not accepted him as your Savior. If he comes today, you're a goat. And if you want to get in sheep status, you better come and give your hand to the Lord. Not to me, not to the church, but to the Lord. Because he is able to change the very hair on your skin. To change it from a hairy thing to a woolly thing. God has that kind of power. And we ought to be ever so grateful because in reality, you could have been a real goat or a real sheep. But God made you a human being, created you out of his own image. And that is a blessing. So what are we doing with the blessings that God has bestowed upon us?